Brethren, have set a high bar, you pray for us for a few minutes. The Apostle Paul in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians makes this statement. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now that's what Brother Mark's been preaching to us. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. I didn't spill it on my trousers, Brother David, but it did drop my lid. What's Paul mean by that? He means that legally, before God the Father, we were recognized as having died when Jesus died. Amen. So that we are dead with Christ. Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 makes that clear. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Right. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. All right? What we have here is a key point in a doctrine of representation that says Christ Jesus represented us, and whatever happened to him is as though it had happened to us. Right. He so represented us that we are inseparably connected with him. We cannot be separated from Christ because we are in him because of love. Paul tells us in Romans 8, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I tell you, somebody comes to you tomorrow and tells you, yes, I believe you're saved, but I also believe you may lose that salvation. You give them that last two verses of Romans 8 and let them chew on it till they choke on it. They can't overcome it. They can't get away from it. We cannot be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I don't care what comes along. It can't separate us from God's love for us. That's my hope this morning. I tell you, I've seen folks rebel against their families. I've seen folks rebel against the church. I've seen folks rebel against God. But if God ever loved them, he'll love them eternally. They cannot be separated from the love of God. And because God loved us, he put us in Christ. We cannot be separated from Christ. He represents us. He's represented us when he came into the world. He represented us when he arose from the grave. Now, that we can't be separated from that. So Paul said, we thus judge. I like that thought. Paul's writing to people that he's preached to previously, and he's taught them this doctrine, and they believe it, and that's their judgment today. And because they make that judgment, the love of Christ motivates them to serve the Lord. When you find people who are really, truly devoted to the notion that I want to yield my body, my soul, my life in service to God, you're finding people who have the love of God in them and realize the love of God and have a hope of living with God in heaven because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if your hope of heaven's based on what you do, you probably don't have very much motivation to do very much in the service of God. But if you come this morning knowing that God has loved me from eternity past, that God loves me today, that Jesus came into this world to die for me, that he yielded up himself on the cross of Calvary to save me from my sins and has given me a home in glory and is coming again to get me some happy day, you have every reason that can exist to serve God faithfully while you live here. I don't understand how in the world Folks who believe this doctrine can get cold and walk away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 5, the apostle gives us a very clear illustration of this doctrine once again. Let us look at verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, let me pause. That does not say that one man acting in harmony with the will of God brought sin into the world. It does not say man by God's will brought sin into the world. It says by one man sin entered into the world. I'm here to tell you this morning that God is too holy to look upon sin. God has never sinned. God has never chosen sin. God has never been pleased with sin. And God did not move Adam to sin. It's not God's fault we're sinners, my friend. It's the fault of Adam, our father, that God had made pure, holy, not holy, pure and good. He's good. He's good. But he was subject to fall. All right. Not God's fault he fell. God didn't trick him. God didn't put him in a situation where he could not avoid it. Adam willingly transgressed the law of God. Now, I heard Brother Ronnie say one time, if it had been him, he'd have done it quicker than Adam did. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I tell you, Adam sinned. That's all I really know. Adam sinned. I don't know what we would have done if we'd have been in that position. He was good. He didn't have to sin. He knew what was going to happen when he sinned. A great mystery to me why he did it. But he did. I just had to leave it right there. But because he sinned. Now look at this. This is plain English language. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All right? Now, Paul said that is, as that happened, something else had to happen. That word as means you look down and you're going to find something else that works like that happened. Come down to, and notice the punctuation there. Right after that statement, we begin a parenthetical expression. There's an open parenthesis, and you have to drop all the way down to the end of verse 17 before the parenthesis is closed. And the next word after the parenthetical expression ends is, therefore, as by the offense, he repeats what he'd said before the parenthetical expression. It's just a repetition of the last thing he said. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. That's all men involved in the justification by Christ. That's all the elect. That all men cannot mean all humanity. I tell you, if it means all humanity, there'll never be a soul in hell. The Bible teaches there will be. Can't be if this applies to every human that ever existed, but it does apply to every member of the elect family of the Lord Jesus Christ. All men under consideration. But what came to them? The free gift. What'd that cost you? What'd that cost you? That free gift. What'd it cost you? Nothing. Was it a useless gift? No, it's a precious possession. It's the most wonderful thing you and I have. Amen. It's the only thing really we have that's worth anything. But it came to us free. Thank God it came to me free. Amen. You know, sometimes in life I've desired things that I couldn't afford. Sometimes I've wanted things I bought on time. Y'all ever do that? Pay for something, pay it out. Pay the interest on it. Sometimes you finance a home 30 years And by the time you get it paid for, you've paid twice the original purchase price because of all the interest charges. No, you all know how all that works, right? Well, I tell you, this one's free. You want to know what the interest rate is? Doesn't matter. Charge me 1,000% interest on something that's free. It'll be okay with me. 1,000% interest on zero debt, that's okay. I tell you, my friends, Jesus came, he bled, he died in the free gift, which is ours by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus came upon all men. What's the result of this free gift? Unto the justification of life. I love that expression. Unto the justification of life. You know what that means? That means it is just and right and proper that we have spiritual life. It's just and right and legal that we be given spiritual life, which is eternal. And this work by the Lord Jesus makes that just. Now let me ask you this question. If it's just and right and legal that God give me freely life, what is it if he does not give that to me? It's wrong.
That's right, James.
It's wrong. If I don't receive that which it's just that I receive, is God going to do that which is wrong? Did not one of old ask the question, will not the judge of all the earth do right? You can mark it down. God does that which is right. He never does that which is wrong. It's right his children have life because Jesus earned it for them. It's wrong that they perish in hell because it would be a travesty against the work of Jesus. Now, if you base it on my merit, it's wrong for me to have life and right for me to have hell. But if you base it on the work of Jesus, it's right, it's legal, it's proper for us to have life, and it's wrong for us not to have it. So what's sure to happen? God's going to give us life. It's just that easy. All right? Just that easy. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. It's hard to know where to start here. Let me start in verse 9, just read. I want to talk about 12. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now that's a powerful doctrinal verse right there, and it deserves to be preached, but we won't take time this morning. And ye are complete in him. Ye are complete in him. Don't talk to me about Jesus partially saving me. Paul says it's complete. You know what it means to be complete? It's finished. It's full. It's all done. And ye are complete in him. How many of you ever started a project you didn't quite finish? You ever done that? Sure, sure. Surely I'm not the only one. Man, I tell you, you know, sometimes I get back to it and sometimes I don't. My poor wife, bless her heart, she'll take me in my little study room and she'll give me an assignment. She says, you don't have to straighten this whole room up, but just get these two sections right here for me. Well, that's a reasonable request. And man, I start in. But you know the problem with that? I start moving those books around and looking at them a little bit and trying to get the ones that the stuff that needs to be thrown away, and I find something I want to read. And so you know what I do? Well, I'll read a little before I go any farther with this. Takes me 2.5 days to read that book. I forgot all about straightening up those two sections, you know. So what happens to my job? I started with a lot of zeal, but I didn't finish. I think that's a problem in the early church. I know that Paul wrote a letter to the Galatian brethren. He said, you did run well, but who hath hindered thee? What happened? They started out well. They were doing the right things and they were doing them well. But something came along and hindered them. It wasn't God that hindered them from running well. He's talking about the spiritual race there. It wasn't God that hindered them. But there is a force in this world called Satan that will hinder you in your spiritual journey if you allow him to do it.
Amen.
But not Jesus. Not Jesus. Oh, Satan tried him. He led him up to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, you just fall down and worship me and I'll give you all this. Well, he didn't own it to start with. Jesus owned it. How's the devil going to give Jesus what already belongs to Jesus? He wasn't going to be able to do that. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Just quoted scripture to him and went on with it. And ye are complete in him. That's talking about your salvation.
Amen.
That's talking about everything necessary for us to live with God in glory. And it's all been done. And who did it? Jesus did it. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's talking about spiritual circumcision. That's talking about the new birth. That's just another expression for the new birth. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That is the circumcision which Christ does. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. See that? Risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. What faith is that? It is the faith which is a result of the work of God. It is the faith of, comes by the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. What's Paul saying? He's talking about two raisings here.
Right.
There is being raised with Christ when he came out of the grave, and there is another raising up that occurred in the new birth, which is spiritual baptism. You were buried with Christ, and you were raised together with him, or raised up with him, through the faith of the operation of God. When you went into the water of spiritual baptism, I'm trying to illustrate stuff that words are inadequate to get to. But as the spiritual baptism begins, you do not have faith. But God puts the Spirit in you, gives you faith, and that faith raises you up, elevates you to a higher plane. Now, you all look that language over. If you don't like it, you wait about a week and let me know about it. I don't want to hear it today. Raise him from the dead. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now, this is not talking about the new birth. This is talking about something that happened before the new birth. Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What's that talking about? When Jesus came out of the grave, your sins and trespasses had all been forgiven, and you were raised up together with him.
Amen.
I need to take just a little time to tell you a little story. I served as high school principal in my home community for several years, and we were under state regulation, of course, and we were under federal regulation, and so we had a specific act of the U.S. Congress that allotted money to schools, but one of the provisions of that rule was that if children had a learning disability, there had to be a meeting held with the parent, with somebody familiar with the child's educational program, that was the special education teacher, and with the principal. And so most of my associates in the business and I decided that we were too busy to go to all those meetings because they all got bunched together right at the end of the school year, one of the busiest times of the year, and it was just a bad aggravation. So we all decided that the thing to do was to appoint somebody to act in our place and go to those meetings for us. And we were getting along fine with that. It was working real well for us, but we got this letter from the Department of Education in Little Rock that said you can choose one of these two dates and the principal must be present at a meeting to be held in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and if you don't come, you don't get your money. Well, they had perfect attendance. We all went. And they had a lady there from Washington, D.C., who got up and explained to us what that law meant. She said the law says the principal will be there, and they'll meet with the parent and the teacher. And if we find out you're not in that same room when that meeting's going on, breathing the same air as those other people, you're not going to get your money. Now, we're not going to take any more of this appointing a designee business. You're going to be there with them. Well, we found time to go to meetings. But now my point, we had to be there with those other two parties. Right. No exceptions. Right. All right? We were quickened together with Christ. Right. Not like Christ was quickened. Not like Christ was raised up. We were in him when he died, and we were in him when he rose again. You get that? Where did he go? He went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. Where did you go when he went to heaven? You went to heaven in him.
That's right. Amen.
All right? Not your body, not your spirit, not your soul, but representatively, you went to heaven with him. Your representative went to heaven when Jesus left the Sea of Galilee's shore and ascended into the heavens.
That's right.
Now, some folks believe that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. The one question I'd like them to explain to me is who's going to go up to heaven, walk right up to the right hand of the throne of Almighty God, and tear me out of Jesus and get me out of heaven? Who's going to do that? I tell you, until somebody gets able to do that, there's never going to be one that was in Jesus when he died, in Jesus when he rose from the dead, and in Jesus when he ascended up on high, that'll be able to take out, to be taken out of Jesus. We're all going to be there, my friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heaven is sure to all the elect. I thank you for your good attention.